This evening, my little thought is along this line of our daily bread. The phrase comes from the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, where he told his disciples how to pray. Just ahead of that little passage of the Lord's Prayer, he was telling them not to use vain repetitions when they pray. For there are those who think that they would be heard by their much speaking. When you pray, enter into your closet and pray. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to enter into a literal closet, but a place that's private, a place that is secluded. Now, I will confess to you that I do not always pray in a secluded place. Sometimes I pray when I may be in a crowd of people and you'll never hear me utter a word. But from my heart and my spirit, I can utter a prayer to the Lord. And I think what the Lord wants us to understand is that when we pray, that our communication with the Father is not something that is just to be ostentatious. It's not to be a big show. It's not to be grandiose. It's not to be such spectacular verbiage. It is to be from the heart, a communication with Him where we are conversing with Him. We're putting out our place where we're vulnerable. We humble ourselves before Him because that's what He did. He humbled Himself before the Father. And when I think of the office of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, as we commented a little bit in our adult Sunday school class this morning, the three are distinct operations. They're three separate entities, but one. And it's hard with language to express the way that that works. But I know that God, Almighty, on the throne in heaven, allowed His Son to come to this earth to be the propitiation for our sins. And by His Holy Spirit, He woos the hearts of individuals and sends conviction. Jesus does not sit beside you and tell you what you've done wrong in your life. God does not sit on your shoulder and tell you what you've done wrong in His life. They are neither one here in a physical form, nor is that Holy Spirit. And the word Holy Spirit, by its definition, is indicative of something that is not a visible, tangible being. It is Spirit, and it is something that is able to communicate with us about our need and allow us to see and give us the opportunity to make a change there. So with that understanding, with that little bit of background, I'd like for us to look at this Matthew chapter 6. And we'll begin with verse 9. These are the words of our Lord and Savior. These are the words of the Master. These are the words of the one who knows how, knows what it takes to make a connection and communication with Him and the Father through the Spirit. He knows how. Remember where He was before He came to this earth. He was in heaven with the Father. He was a part of all that was done, all that was created. He was a part. Let us make man. He was a part of that, all of that that took place. So He perfectly and clearly understood how it needed to be done for man to have communication with the Father and with Him. He knew what it took for Him to have communication with the Father. One of the things that stands out to me in my mind is whenever Jesus prayed, we have record of Him praying to the Father. It was one that was done in reverence and respect and honor and recognition of who God was and is. And when we approach Him, we ought to do the same. Realizing that without Him, without His Son, without His Holy Spirit, we're weak, we're helpless and undone. If God were to pull back every effect or influence of His triune fullness to humanity today, folks, we'd be in a dark, dark place. It would be awful. As bad as this world is, it would be awful to live here without any impact or of effect of God's working with the hearts and souls of men. So Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Right off the bat, reverent, hallowed, separated be thy name. Let it not be something that's just so common, that it becomes just commonplace to us, but that it is a thing that is hallowed to us. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread. With the backdrop of the comments ahead of this instruction, let's just think of it this way. I do not believe that the Lord Jesus was telling the people there, the disciples, that you need to always pray for your sustenance every day. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. I say that every time I say, and I believe it's the appropriate thing to do, that every time that we sit down to a meal, we ought to take a moment to bow our heads and thank God for what we have before us. We ought to give Him that recognition. We ought to acknowledge and know, let Him know that we thank Him for it. We don't always say all of these words, but from our hearts we ought to have the understanding that, Father, if it was not for You creating a world, a universe, that could produce produce, that could produce fruits, vegetables, meats, if it wasn't for You making this world and where it could produce these things, I couldn't have this set before me. Whether it's little or much, whatever it is, I ought to give Him thanks for that. I ought to say thank You for it. But I think it's something more that the Lord wanted us to really, if our minds and our hearts are set to really love Him for who He is and what He is. When we say these words, "Give us this day our daily bread," we ought to know and have a little bit deeper communication in our minds that I need from You, Lord, those things that You see that I need to sustain me. Now, I'm not talking about this physical body, because He said in 6 and 27 of John, "Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath the Father sealed." He said in 6 and 48, "I am that bread of life." Now, we need food, of course. We need natural food. We need the bread of life. We need those things that will sustain this body. We need those things day in and day out. Our Father knows that we have need of those things. He knows that we have need of the everyday things of food, the drink, clothing, shelter. He knows that we have need of those things. So I'm satisfied in my mind that when we come before God and we pray, that we know that He knows we have need of those things and He is able to supply those. But there are things deeper that you and I cannot make for ourselves. I cannot go out and plant a garden that gives me grace. I cannot go out and plant a garden that gives me patience. I can't go out and plant a garden that I can harvest at some point that will give me holiness and righteousness and purity. I can't do those things. Those things come from a source much greater than me. Just as our natural food comes from a source that's greater than me, I have a part to play in planting the garden. I have a part to play in harvesting. I have a part to play in picking and choosing those things that I want to put together and make a meal out of. I have a part in that. I have a part. and also coming to God and asking Him, the one who is able to put those things in me that He sees that I need for my daily spiritual sustenance. I am that bread of life. Now, I'd like to look at Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that He may be gracious unto you, and therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When He shall hear it, He will answer thee. Doesn't that sound comforting? He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When He shall hear it, He will answer thee. I believe that the backdrop here also needs to be where Jesus said these words, "Don't pray to be heard for your much speaking. Don't use vain repetitions. Don't stand in the marketplace in the corners. Don't make a pretense of it. Don't make sure that people see you and understand that I am praying. Don't do it that kind of a way. Enter into this place, this secluded place that is communion with you and God, you and Him alone, where He knows that you are reaching to Him and you're waiting for Him to reach to you. We pray publicly. We come together in our worship services and pray, and we ought to do that. But I'll tell you, folks, some of the most precious times or when you enter into your closet alone with the Father and you send up your voice and your petition before Him and desiring things from Him. Communion with Him. Not selfishly. Those things that we pray about. Our daily bread. If all of my prayer consists of things that I need, I need, I need, I want, I want, I want, I'm going to have an empty life. I'm going to find myself not really receiving the full essence of blessing that the Lord wants to bestow upon me. So He says, He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When He shall hear it, He will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, whoa! Bread of adversity. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Do you ever pray and ask for adversity? I don't think that there's a person in here. I certainly do not go before the Lord and say, "Lord, You know the things that I need this day, so I ask You, Lord, to send me some adversity." No. I don't seek for it. It comes anyway. It will come. But I say to the Lord, I do say to Him, "Lord, today give me my daily bread." And I have to believe in Him and trust in Him and have faith in Him that the things that He sees that I need this day, the things that He sees that are ahead of me, whatever it is that He sees that I need to have harvested from His garden that He has planted for me, if it's patience, if it's long-suffering, whatever it may be, if He sees that those are the things that I need to be willing to say, "Lord, give me this day my daily bread." Whatever it is that You see, if it's the bread of adversity, Lord, then I am willing to partake of the bread of adversity. If the bread of adversity means that it increases my faith and my trust and my confidence in You, then, Lord, I'm willing to take the bread of adversity. Our Lord and Savior faced that very same thing. When he prayed in the garden, "Father, if it's possible, I ask, would you please let this cup pass from me?" Nevertheless, if the bread of adversity is what needs to come, I'll eat it. And he did. Thank God he did. Although the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it," when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Sometimes we find that we don't know which way to go. We don't know what to do. We don't know what direction to take. We find there are things ahead for us and we don't know where it is that we need to be, what we need to do, how to address those things. I expect everyone in the chapel this evening has been in a place like that, where you didn't know what the right answer was, but you had to continue. The clock is still turning. The earth is still rotating. The sun will come up tomorrow, and tomorrow a decision has to be made. And you may not still have the answer that you really would like to have, the concrete, absolute, sure answer, but tomorrow comes. And by 9 o'clock, I've got to make this decision. And it's 8:45. And it's 8:50. And it's 8:55. And I've stolen away to my closet again and said, "Lord, I would love, please would you give me some direction and answer?" And I'll tell you folks, it does not always come where you get absolute, solid, concrete answer and direction from the Lord. Amen. Sometimes we have to be able to walk by faith and, if necessary, eat the bread of adversity and drink the water of affliction, because that's the portion of my daily bread that the Lord has allowed me to have, because He wants me to be willing to trust Him and have faith in Him and believe in Him, not my own way, not my own strength, not my own might, not my own power, but believe that He is able to hold me and keep me in those places where I can't see an end. Faith. Jesus' words, "Father, give us this day our daily bread." I rather expect that he prayed that prayer more than once. When he was facing the scribes and the Pharisees, when he was facing the opposition, when he was facing the adversity, when he was facing the challenges, when he was facing those that came to him with questions, yes, he was divine, but yes, he was also human, that he said, "I didn't come to do my own will, but I came to do the will of Him that sent me. The words that I speak, they're not my own, but what I hear from the Father, that I say, that I speak." I'm satisfied that he went to his Father on a regular basis and said, "Lord, Father, you did send me here. Yes, I agreed. And I'm at this place again. Give me this day my daily bread. I know I'm the bread of life, but these people will never be able to have sustenance. They'll never be able to have health if I am not able to have something to impart to them, because you are the giver. You're the sustainer." Our entire experience with God is based upon trust, faith, building, and we build that in a daily walk with Him. Absolutely, every day, walking with the Lord. "Give me this day my daily bread." Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. When we pray, we started off by talking about the Father, the Son, and that Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is the animating force of God. That Holy Spirit is the means of communication that God has chosen to have with man, that Holy Spirit. It is that Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin. It is that Holy Spirit that speaks to us. It is that Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Spirit. He said, He will guide you into all truth. He will bring things to your remembrance. He will help you. He will call you. Call these things to your mind. He will cause you to remember what it is I have said. He will help you to be able to hear my voice and understand my will. How precious is that Holy Spirit. So in this little passage in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Do you know what you always ought to pray for? When you get down before the Lord each day, each time that you get down before the Lord, and you say, if you have the mindset, frame of mind, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that needs to be? I do not. I'm not able to see that much. I'm not able to understand that much. But I know one that does. And this scripture says, His Holy Spirit helps our infirmities, our weaknesses, our frailties. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't even know what to pray for. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What this little phrase really means here, this last part, the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's not the Spirit that makes the groanings that can't be uttered. But the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, helps us when we don't even know the words to say. We get on our knees before the Lord. Have you ever been in that place where you felt the pressure of life? You felt the pressure of situations around you. You felt the pressure of circumstances and you wanted answers and you wanted direction from the Lord and you didn't have direct answers and communication from the Lord. And you've prayed until you have prayed out. Until you don't have any more words that you can pray. And if you pray any more about the situation, all you're going to be doing is repeating the same words that you've said before. You ever been there? I've been there and I'm sure you have too. Where I don't have any more words to say. So all that's left inside of me is to come before my Father and say, help. Help. Help me. I come before Him and I don't even know the direction that I need to pray because I'm not sure about it. We get in those places because life brings perplexing circumstances in it. Problems along the way. But we can get down in those places where we have those groanings where the words aren't there anymore. And the Holy Spirit is able to interpret the cry and the yearning of the soul that God put within man that really yearns to have communion with Him and yearns to be at peace with Him. And when you find that you have, when you have made that effort in your life to really you want to serve Him and do the right thing, oh, what a beautiful thing it is to learn to just trust in the Lord. I trust You, Lord, to give me this day my daily bread. More than my natural food. More than the things I sit down at the table and partake of. More than the beans and cornbread. More than those things that I need for this physical body. But this physical body is going to perish. Labor not for the meat that perishes, but labor for that meat that is for everlasting life. Where Jesus said, I am that staff of life. I am that bread of life. Not physical life entirely, but the spiritual life. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. This is speaking of God, knowing what is the mind of His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How important it is, folks, for us to have that mindset. Give us this day our daily bread. We can't trust God's Holy Spirit. It will never lead you astray. It will never take you down a wrong path. It will never do anything contrary to the will of God in your life. It will always lead you in paths of righteousness. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then verse 28 of Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Closing in John chapter 6. Verses 47 and 48. The words of Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Everlasting life, folks, we know. We have been faced with it just recently, many times, just recently. This human existence is not everlasting. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, eternal life. And then Jesus said these words, I am that bread of life, or I am the bread for that life. If you want to have everlasting life, partake of me. Give us this day our daily bread. You pray for me. God bless each one is my prayer. Amen.